Good morning. Good morning. It's not that I like to hear myself talk, Jess. Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to see everybody this morning. Yes, amen. Ready? So we're going to get ready to start worshiping. Well, we are always worshipers. I really believe that we are worshiping all the time. We are getting ready to praise our Lord and Savior and soften up our hearts and stir up that soil. Get ready for the seeds of what Pastor Mike is going to plant for us. So we're going to open with prayer, and then if you'll stand with us and praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that we get to come and praise your name. Lord, that we get to come and hear your words spoken freely without fear. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to do so today. And Lord, we thank you for everybody who will be here. And for those who are not, Lord, we know that your spirit will be on them, Lord, and just loving them and bringing them peace. Lord, we pray for the needs of this house individually and corporately, Lord. And we just thank you for loving us beyond all measure that we can see. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. With everything around me shaking, I've never been more proud that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he with everything around me shaking. my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
So we declare.
He won't.
Bambi.
Instead of running to the Father when something is going wrong, we immediately stay stuck where we're at. And we look at where we're at, and all we see is where we're at. The example for me was this week, my phone has gone crazy. And I was without communication that I dearly needed, my poor husband. I focused on that, and I let that be the basis of how my days went from Thursday to Friday. And I was not a nice person to be around. And I wasn't asking God for what I needed from Him. I wasn't turning to Him and thanking Him for and being grateful for everything that I did have. I was focused on what I didn't have. And when it comes to us being children of God, we need to remember that we have Him no matter what. And one thing that I am so very thankful for is that He loved me in spite of me being stupid. In spite of me not turning to Him when I should have, He still loves me. And he is still faithful to call to me and say, daughter, I have it. Just let me take care of it. So if any of you are feeling disconnected in any way, this is a good day to ask for reconnection, to lift your hearts and your hands to him and say, Lord, I haven't turned to you like I should, but I want to now. The altar is open as we finish worship, but if you can't come up, you can do it in your seat. But just remember that he is faithful for us, even when we are not in the best place. He is there for us. He is our mountain. He is our strong tower. He is our home built on the rock. All we need to do is cling to him. Gather corporately, Lord, to listen to your teachings, Lord. Let your words flow from the pastor's mouth, Lord, into our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, Lord, and we thank you for this gathering, and we just praise your sweet and holy name, and we just praise these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Hug next, get coffee. We'll be gathering back here in a couple of minutes.
Good morning, guys. Let's go on ahead and get ready to do declarations. We're going to do the declaration over the house because we love this house and we love our church and we want to make sure that we're speaking good things over it. So if you could all stand with me, please, and we're going to do this real quick. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and a right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing church that you've blessed us with, God, not only the building, but the congregation. And I just pray that you would begin to just prepare all of our hearts for the amazing things that you're going to do throughout the next couple of weeks and the next couple of months as we begin to head into the winter season, God. So we just thank you so much for your amazing plans for each and every individual in this room. And we pray that you would help us to be able to help you execute them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so a couple announcements. The first one is men's breakfast. This is going to be the second Saturday of this month. I believe that is the 14th. So all men, you are invited. You guys know the drill. We come here, we eat some breakfast, we get a quick word. It's really good. I encourage you to invite any friends that you have that maybe have been in a church environment like this before. It's a great opportunity for you to be able to invite them. And then next, we have our community night, which is going to be the 18th of this month, and that's going to be from 6 to 8. This one is going to be dinner and worship. So again, if you have any people that you would like to invite and just kind of introduce them to the concept of church, this is a great place to do that. So yes, again, that's going to be the 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. And then lastly, we have thank you for giving. So thank you guys, all of you who tithe, whether that's money or whether you're just tithing your spirit or your time to even be here. We just appreciate all of you who give back to the congregation for the glory of God. So we just thank you for that.
Praise the Lord. There we go. So God is interesting. you know, sometimes I'm thinking when I'm sharing a message on Sunday, it's like did I just come up with this? Or, you know, it's like, is this just like something that I got, or something I had to, you know, work up so I could have a message on Sunday? I'm telling you that's not the case, because on Friday I still had nothing for Sunday, and I'm like, Lord, okay, well, and so, you know, I'm reading my daily reading, and I'm like, okay, something's going to pop off the page, you know, on Friday. It didn't. And then Saturday morning, and I'm like, okay, it's gonna happen when I read my word for today, and it didn't. And so Gay asked me yesterday afternoon, so what are you sharing on tomorrow? I said, I don't know. And so as I went into the evening, usually then I'm doing my final studies, you know, putting together slides and all of that. And I'm just like, you know, twiddling my thumbs, listening to worship music, not twiddling my thumbs, but just trying to prepare my heart. And the whole time I'm saying, Lord, you know what you want to do here. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm just going to believe, you know, that whatever happens is your will, because, you know, I didn't get anything. And so then I woke up this morning, and I read 2 days on my Bible reading, and then we're doing a Proverbs reading right now that I sent out to a group of people, and I read the Proverbs, and nothing jumped out. So I just said, okay, Lord, it's your will. So I got here early, and I just was praying and just preparing my heart, and, you know, all I brought was my Bible, and I had a chapter on my heart, but I didn't get anything like firm. But then this morning we were having prayer. And I don't know, some days, you know, prayer is just a process that you go through, because, you know, you're just trying to be faithful in the little things. And so we're downstairs, and we're listening to a couple of worship songs, and it's a beautiful song, and the Holy Spirit is, I think, moving on all our hearts. Anyone who was down there, you know, was feeling during the songs. But we started singing Worthy is the Lamb. And it was interesting, because I didn't stop it, because I was surprised, because this is like a 14-minute song, and only after about 4 minutes it stopped, completely stopped. I actually looked at it. Why did it stop? But what happened was, is that we didn't need worship. It's like God just came and sat on us. And it was so powerful. None of us hardly were even talking. It was just so weighty. I'm thinking, Lord, you're already starting. Something's going on here. And so we come upstairs and you know, we had amazing worship, and his presence still is very weighty. I don't know if you guys can sense this. It's very, very weighty. And Gay has been asking me, so do you have something? It's like no, I don't have anything. So I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is up to something right now. So I want you to prepare your heart, be ready to receive, be ready maybe for God to do something very significant. I mean, it's been years since I felt that weightiness. I'm telling you, you know, I felt his presence and joy, but this was like a sovereign weightiness. And it was, I really didn't want to come up. I thought, well, if we just stay downstairs, maybe people will start coming down. I didn't know what to do. Finally, it lifted just a little bit, and I said, amen. And that was the prayer meeting. So Pastor Gay has something. She got it this morning. I didn't know until just now. She just said, I have something. It's not going to make you upset at me. No, I don't. I want what God wants to do here today. Amen. So I'm telling you, a stage has been set for this moment. Okay? So open your hearts and receive what the Lord has.
I just have to shake my head because wait till you guys hear what the Lord gave me. You're going to be like, God is so funny. First, I'm going to ask a favor, and I'm going to ask you to be obedient in that favor. I want everybody to come forward and sit in the chairs right here. And if you, just move your stuff forward. Just come up because we're such a small, intimate group that I would rather y'all be in my living room than spread out in this big room. Yeah? So just, if you guys would just move forward and just relax and just drink on your coffee. And then at any time, if any of you feel like you need to come forward and sit on the floor in the midst of prayer, that's good too. Whatever. We're going to just be really comfortable, yeah? So this morning, actually, my husband called me this morning and he said, because I normally pick up Grandma Phyllis and bring her to church, and she called me last night and said she wasn't able to come. Please be praying for her because she is really dealing with a terrible, pinched nerve that is causing her extreme pain and one leg to be very numb. And she's been dealing with this for a couple months. Faithful to come to church. She gets a shot. She didn't get her shot like she hoped she would. And she can't sit in these chairs when she's hurting. So just be praying for Grandma Phyllis, okay? All right. So this is so, God is so funny. He's so funny. Okay. I'm going to read the scripture first, and we'll do that. Okay. So I'm going to read Philippians 4:4-9. Okay. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And I'm going to skip to 4 because I started in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Y'all, he's here. He's sitting beside you. He's within you. God is here. Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, I add sisters because some people, women, are a little bit funky about being called a brother, but that's the universal language in the Bible. But anyway, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When you have learned and received and heard, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is Paul speaking, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so I want to start by reading this story that this is what captured my attention. And this is a story about a man who is sitting beside the bed of his mentor who is getting ready to move onward, upward in glory, yeah? And so this is what he asks of his mentor. If you could pinpoint one habit or practice that impacted the fruitfulness of your life and ministry, what would it be? If you could just pinpoint. Now, this guy has ministered over 50 years of his life. And this kid, this young man, wants to ask his mentor, what's the one thing? What's the pinpoint? What's the thing that helped you the most, that encouraged you the most, that uplifted you the most, that pushed you through the most? What was it? And this is what he said as he looked at his wife who was standing next to his student. And he winked at her and he said, you ready? Only 8 words. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. Shocking, isn't it? Much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. That is the gas of our Christian walk. Our get in the go car and go. That's your gas right there. And I just was like, oh, Lord Jesus, that is so powerful. That is so life-changing for somebody that has served the Lord. Y'all, I have served the Lord over 50 years myself. I turned 63 at the beginning of this month. No, last month. And I've been a Christian since I was 7, but really serving the Lord since I was 13 years old. And I'm 63. That's 50 years, y'all. And I'm telling you, much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. And I've seen that evidenced in my own life. I've seen the power of this statement in my life. And I can actually tell you that the part that is the little prayer, little power, is when I thought I deserved more in life than what I was getting, or God should not have let that happen where I could be hurt that much, and why would he do that? And then I draw away. I'm going to be real with y'all this morning. When we get to a point in our lives where we feel like doing nothing, that's when we need to pray. When we get to a point in our lives where we feel like we don't want to do this Christian thing, it seems a little wackadoodle or strange to you, that's when you pray. That's prayer, y'all, equals conversation with God. Prayer equals relationship with God. If I was married to my husband, and I never spoke to my husband, and I never interacted with my husband, we would not be married today. Right. Because conversation, relationship, communicating, that is what makes your relationship powerful. And that's what makes it grow. Amen. And sometimes communication is the hardest thing. Communication is my most favorite topic. When we go and minister at other churches, what do we teach on? We teach on communication because it's not taught about anymore. It's like we think communication's talking. It has nothing to do with talking. It has everything to do with connecting. Communication equals connection. And if you're not communicating, if you're doing this when you should be doing this. Because it means nothing. Yeah? So, in today's reading, Paul is admonishing the church at Philippi. the Philippians. This is a group of people that live in Philippi, and they're Christians. And it's this whole thing starts out, this great passage of scripture starts out with two women bickering. Two women going at each other. How many of y'all have ever seen a cat fight? That's what they call it. Two women going at each other. And nails are bared, and they are, they're cat fighting. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever lived it? Yes, I have. I have some mean sisters. Really, my sister's sisters, my flesh sisters. I have some mean sisters, and I can be mean at very seldom, but no, I'm kidding. I can be mean, and it's a cat fight. But there's two women in the church. They're not even related, except Christianity. That's the only thing that brings them together, and they're cat fighting. And the whole church is watching. Excuse me. My nose is a little drippy. I need my Kleenex. Oh, they're catfighting, and that's what starts this whole communication that Paul is communicating to the church that he knows he's going to be communicating to us down the ages. All of us need to learn this. This is not something that was spoken then, and it doesn't matter now. It has everything to do with who we are now. Yes. Everything. Now, three things, three steps to experiencing God's peace in prayer. You ready? Number one, Paul is telling them to imitate him. Not him, but Christ in him. Imitate what you see me doing because I love Jesus so much. I love him with all my heart. So what you see me doing for Jesus, do that. Do that. That's what's going to help you in your life. Paul knew how important it was for the Philippians to follow what he was telling them to do. Paul did it. When Jesus kicked him off that donkey and he went blind and was Saul and became Paul and all that stuff, Jesus knew how important it was for Paul to be an imitator of Jesus himself. And because Paul learned that, Paul can show us and show the church of Philippians. The Philippians, sorry. Okay, and so he says in the third chapter of Philippians, I'm just going to paraphrase this. He's talking about running the race. He's talking about running the race to win. He's talking about running the race so that you don't race so hard, so fast, so quick that, I'm going to use this word because I can't think of another one, you peter out. That's what it's called. You lose. How many of us have seen Christians, they go so fast, so hard, so quick at the beginning, and all of a sudden something happens, and it takes them out. Because they were running so hard, so fast, so quick, that the race became hard at the mountain or hard at the valley, that they just went splat. They stopped serving Jesus completely. Have any of y'all seen that? I've seen it many times in my Christian walk. And it does happen. It's a fairy tale or a fable or something about the tortoise and the hare. There's something to be said about that little turtle. He's just moving along, motating along, but he slow and steady wins the race. I was just getting ready to say that. Yes, because what's he doing? He's plodding. He's moving. He's moving forward. Jesus says, move forward. It's okay for you to have these issues. It's okay for you to have hurt and pain in your life. But if you will keep moving forward in me, I'm going to help you. You don't have to do it alone. It's not your race to run by yourself. It's your race to run with me. Okay, so he calls the Philippians my joy and crown. That's what he says that they are to him. Jesus says that about us too. We're his joy and his crown. And he's referring to the victor's wreath that they're going to get at the end of their race. The joy and the crown, because what? You just won. And anybody else that crosses this finish line, they win. There's not a first, a second, or a third. There's no trophies to be had except the trophy of being in the Lord's presence. Biggest trophy ever. Olympics has nothing on the trophy you'll get at the end of your life when you go up and be with Jesus. Nothing. First, second, third, that's just kids play. So he says to them, hold on, let me find my place, referring to the victor's wreath, and it was awarded at the end of the race. And he also told them, when you can't run, to stand firm. Amen. What are you standing firm in? Everything that you've learned before. Everything that's come before you in the Christian sense, in being a Christian. It doesn't mean stand firm in your own strength. It doesn't mean stand firm because you don't want to go forward, you don't want to go back, so you're just going to stand there. No, the standing firm is in Jesus. Amen. You do not have to have the strength to stand. You just have to have his strength to stand. So standing firm, it means to endure. And it's an important characteristic for any runner, because what happens at the end of the race? Have you ever seen those runners that they get to the end, like they're just barely, like even just from here to the wall, and all of a sudden everything falls apart, their body stops and they stop? They can't even stand because they were running in their own strength. Okay, so number two. So number one was be imitators of Paul / Jesus, right? Second, he told them in verse 4 of Philippians 4 to rejoice. Now, a year, well, 2 years this November 1st, I started reading every day. I started reading a thankful, grateful something every day. I made it a year and a half, and then I just stopped. I don't know what made me stop, but I did. I stopped. But I've noticed a difference in my life because I'm not starting out with thankfulness like I did before. Do you know what I mean? But this is, Paul is mentioning for us to rejoice and with confidence that God's going to act on our behalf. Rejoicing in what God's going to do through us, not us do and then Jesus come along. Gabe, come here. Gabe's going to help me. Now, y'all, Gabe's a little taller than me, right? So we're going to pretend that he's God. God doesn't look like this, but this is God. And this is me. Okay, Gabe, turn and face that wall right there, would you? Okay. And we're going to hold hands. Don't get comfortable, but hold hands. This is what most of us do in life. Ready? Come on, God. We're going to go over here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That's okay with you, right? Yeah. Come on over here, God. No, 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 no. This is the way it's supposed to be. Walk, Gabe. Oh, God. Wow, God. You've got great things in store for me. That's awesome. That's cool. That's how our life is supposed to look. Everybody give a hand to Gabe. He did a great job playing God. Yes. Amen. But that is how we're supposed to be, letting God be the one to guide us and lead us. Now, it says the Lord's at hand. Now, that can mean two things. One, it could mean that Jesus is getting ready to come and you all better get your ducks in a row if you want to go to heaven. Kind of, sort of. But it also means the Lord's with us at all times. He's with us. My husband said something, and it was so powerful for me, very, very powerful. And this is what he said. He said, when someone has Jesus in them and they do something that's naughty. That's what we used with our kids when they were little. We didn't tell them they were bad. We just said they were naughty. But if you have Jesus in you and you do something naughty, then Jesus is right there while you're doing something naughty. So why would you do something naughty? Right? But don't we? Even though he's in us, a lot of times we think, oh, if I go and do this, whatever it is, he's going to just sit in the car and wait for me. Nope. He goes with you. So I want you to think about that with maybe a habit you may have, a characteristic that's not so pretty, a life that you lead that you know needs to be changed for the Lord. Because even if what you're doing feels good for a second, what comes after that, the pain that it causes, not just you, but others around you, it's obvious that we're going to have a rough time knowing that we've hurt ourselves and hurt someone else and hurt the Lord as well, right? Okay. So we have to understand that God wants to be close to us, close like in us. And he wants us to recognize how powerful that is so that we don't need to leave him in the car. He can go wherever we go. And we don't need to worry about him being along, right? Okay. All right, so all of that was in rejoice and the Lord being at hand in us, okay? And then one thing that says, too, is that in everything, by prayer. Okay, God, I'm in the car. You're with me. And I'm going to use this as an example. I do not drink alcoholic beverages, never have, never will. But I'm in the car and I'm driving and I see an alcohol store. What's that called? I don't even know what it is. A liquor store. There you go. I don't even know what it's called. And I'm like, oh, I am having such a rough time with life. If I even just had one drink to calm me down, I can figure this out. Now, I come from an alcoholic family. Both my parents were alcoholics. I have dealt with alcoholism my whole life, and I've never drank. It is something that pops and rears its ugly head at the hardest times of my life because the enemy knows that genetic thing in me, that what I saw as a little girl, that was my mom and dad's out for life, that I could do that, and for just a little bit, the pain would be numbed. But wait. God's with me in the car. That means he gets out with me. That means he goes into the liquor store with me and he buys whatever it is that a person buys for the numbing effect. I don't even know what to tell you to get because I don't know. But I'm just saying that God's with us. Why would we do that, right? And so honestly, I'm telling you now, how many times, baby, have I told you that when we've gone through rough times, the first thing the enemy hits in my brain is, if you only had a drink. And I've never drank. So if it's hard for me, how hard would it be for a person, a Christian, that's come out of alcoholism or whatever, how hard would it be for them? But we have to remember, Jesus is at hand. He's right here with me. I don't have to rely on my own strength. I don't have to rely on the leftovers of when I prayed yesterday. Or the leftovers of, oops, forgot to pray yesterday. Maybe the day, oops. Do you see what I'm saying? Leftovers. I don't think I've ever seen the word leftover in the Bible because it's not in there. We can't survive on leftovers. We can't survive on what we had, how and when. The youth just got back from camp a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I'm here. Really, I am. But they can't rely on what happened just even a couple weeks ago. That's back there. Question, nobody answer. How many times have you prayed since? Or how many times have you worshiped since? Or how many times have you needed God since? How many? On a daily basis? Yeah. And we think that what we did 2 weeks ago is going to sustain us for today. How about a year ago? There are some Christians that come to church and plop their little tushies in a chair And they think, oh, I did my duty. God's going to be with me now for the next week. I'm good. Don't we live like that sometimes? I keep going back to if I'd never had communication with my husband, we would not have a marriage. If I don't have communication with Jesus and I call myself a Christian, what do I really have? Okay, so the second point was rejoice. Due to the nearness of God, Paul encouraged us not to be anxious about anything, but to approach everything with prayer. Everything with prayer. Okay, so point three. God in prayer promises us that we'll have the peace of God that goes beyond what we could even think or imagine. Now, I'm really good at imagining. I have a great imagination. I remember one time, again, conversation with my husband. Have you ever imagined yourself going to the throne of Jesus, climbing up into his lap, sitting on his lap and his arms surrounding you? Have you ever imagined that? And I said, oh, yes, I have many times. I think like that. That's to me, that's relationship, is someone that close that I could do that to. And he's like, I can't imagine that. He's a guy. He probably hasn't sat in someone's lap in a very long time. However, I will say this. I do have proof. About 25 years ago, he sat in my lap because we have a picture of it. But I'm saying he has a hard time imagining that. Me, I don't. When I'm in worship, I can imagine myself at the throne. And just like, you know, hold you like little kids do. Hold you. They're really meaning hold me. And I can imagine myself doing that even with Jesus. So it says surpassing all understanding. Surpassing all imagination that we could even think. The peace of God will guard my heart and guard my mind. Driving in that car, God is with me. Driving by that liquor store, and I've just gone through the death of my dad. And the enemy says, just pull in, grab one of those little tiny bottles. No one will ever know. You could drink it, throw it in the garbage can that's right outside the door. Get back in your car. No one will have a clue. Help me. I'm struggling with something I don't even understand. That is beyond my imagination, and God is right with me. He's like, okay, drive past. Drive another mile and another. Get as far away from that temptation as you can, even though I don't even know what a temptation for liquor is. I have no clue. It's because of what's inside me that I have struggled with as a generational curse that I've prayed for, but I still struggle with. He will guard my heart and my mind. Okay, so that guarding your heart, I think Paul did a tongue-in-cheek here. I really do, because the word guard is talking about a guard in a prison. And he's in prison writing the letter. Get it? He's in prison writing this letter, and he uses that terminology, tongue-in-cheek, I'm thinking, because what a perfect example, him being in chains and being in a locked dungeon. Perfect example of God guarding our hearts and our minds. Well, guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:7. The Greek word for guard means to imprison or garrison. Here, Paul used a play on words to show how prayer brought perspective and peace despite the imprisonment. What if you had been imprisoned with? It's not jail. It's not bars. It's not, you know, chains. But what's imprisoned your life? I'm going to just name a few, if you just will allow me. Men, some women struggle with porn. That's a prison. Some struggle with alcohol. Some struggle with being a, what's it called when you're a habitual liar? Cannot tell the truth to save their life. What about adultery? What about stealing? I could go on and on. And do you want to know something? All of those people sit in churches. And you say inside yourself, oh, I've never done anything that bad. Be very careful, because God doesn't look at what's really bad and not so bad. If it's bad, it's sin. Doesn't matter if you stole a cookie from the cookie jar or if you had sex outside of your marriage. Sin is sin in God's eyes, right? So we have to be really careful that we are not imprisoned by things that the world throws at us. One of my favorite things, stories, and it's not a story, it's true, is our spiritual kids, Angel and Lorena. It'd be great if they were online today. I didn't think about that. But anyway, they live in Utah, and they came to church during the time that we were doing encounters / transforms. And what those were weekends that men, women, and youth would go up to the mountain to a camp that we had and go through a whole weekend of intense, powerful sessions, learning about forgiveness and about the cross and about the old man versus the new man and about so many different things. If you all could just raise your hand, has anybody in here been to an encounter / a transform? Mom, you've been to one. Yes. So there was like more than six people have been to that. That's awesome and cool. We're thinking about having one. Let's do it. But they would go up, and we would deal with this. And Angel went to his first one. They had only been going to church, saved for about 6 months, not very long, maybe even sooner than that. Maybe it was a spring one. I don't know. But Angel came home, and Lorena called me on the phone. Gay. That's how she talks to me. Gay, you're not going to believe what Angel's doing right this minute. And I can hear her pounding on whatever surface she's standing by. I go, what is he doing? What is he doing? She goes, he has gone through every single one of our movies and anything that says R on it. He is throwing it away into a garbage can. And now he has taken it outside and he has lit it on fire. And I'm like, what? And she goes, because he learned that that stuff going in you is something you'll struggle with. So anything that said R, he got rid of it. And not only did he throw it away, I told him, why don't you just sell it? We could make some good money on that stuff. He goes, no, if God doesn't want it, I'm not going to let the enemy have it either. And he burned it up. Y'all, that's powerful. And why did I say that? Hold on. I said it because he was held captive by those R-rated movies. He was held captive about wanting to have a, honey, the boys are in bed. Let's sit up here in our room and plug in a movie and let's watch it and eat some popcorn. He was going to sleep on that R-rated stuff, dreaming about it, thinking about it. And he's like, nope, we're not going to do that anymore. We're getting rid of that stuff. That's sometimes what it takes, y'all, to, in order to just, this is the line. This is the line. And you guys, I have done this with the enemy so many times. And let me tell you, it works. Enemy, what's today's date, babe? September 1st. Enemy, on September 1st, I decided I was going to throw away those R-rated movies. I don't care how many times you have me going by the store with all those movies sitting there. I am not even going to look at an R-rated movie. I'm not going to purchase an R-rated movie. I threw them away. I burned them. I don't need them. September 1st. It's September 15th. Oh, Angel, come on. Just one movie. You remember that movie that you watched? Blah, blah, blah. How good it was. Blah, blah, blah. And it was an R-rated movie. Nope. I'm walking by. December 25th. What does Angel open in his Christmas? But an R-rated movie. Thank you very much, Mom and Dad. What does he do when Mom and Dad walk out of the room, out of the door to leave to go home? He chucks it in the garbage can after he broke it in half. December 25th. That happened when he, September 1. Enemy, September 1, I was free of that. Do not bring it into me again on September or December 25th. I have nothing to do with that. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to get indignant with the enemy to let him know that God's done something for us. What's your date? What is your date? It doesn't have to be the day you got saved. It doesn't have to be the day that you had an encounter or a transform or whatever. Why can't today's date be just as good as either of those dates? It can be, because Jesus got a hold of you today. You don't need it. Women, don't go getting those nasty romantic thingy books, whatever. Don't read that junk. You don't need that stuff. You don't. Throw it away. Burn it. Remind the enemy, September 1st, I decided I'm not going to buy those books anymore. Go to the library and get those books anymore. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. September 15th comes. What happens? You're going by the store. You see, oh my goodness, that guy looks like Fabio. Oh, I think I need that book. No, you quit laughing. You don't need that book. No, Jesus, I don't need that book. Enemy, on September 1st, I realized that those nasty books were not for me. I burned them all, and now you're tempting me with them? Get behind me. That's your right in Christ, is to tell the enemy to get back there, leave you alone. Remind him of the day that you finally became aware. I don't need romance books or porn or whatever else it is. I don't need drink. I have Jesus. Jesus means all the world to me. If he does, get rid of all that other junk. You don't need it. Okay. Prayer promises the peace of God. It empowers us to endure any trial that we face. Any. We've lost a son, buried him. I've lost my parents, buried them. Anything worse than that, I can't imagine. I'm sure there are other things, maybe. I don't know. But those were pretty darn hard. But Jesus, I'm standing today because of Jesus, because he helped me to endure any trial that I faced up to this point, and he will help me again. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comfort delights my soul. Psalm 94:18. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comfort delights my soul. Let's take God at his word and meet him in prayer, not once a week, every day, all day long. I'm going to end with this. Years and years ago, it was after I became a realtor, I was talking to my husband and I said, listen, babe, I really feel that I need to offer my services to the church. I had gone to school for business. I had worked in many fields. I had worked in leasing. I had worked in insurance. I had worked so many things. And when I became a realtor, kind of all those things went to the wayside. But the church needed a secretary. They didn't have one. And I'm like, babe, maybe I could just donate a couple of days to the church, because they need it. They need the help. And I would just feel like that would just be something I could help with and do. And I remember the very first day. Sorry, it's really hot in here. I remember the very first day that I went to church. to fill in, to do that position. And I could not stop myself. I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus, that I get to be here. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to serve you this way. Thank you, Jesus, that there was a need that I saw, and you gave it to me in my mind, and now I've filled it. I'm honored that I get to do this. I really am. And then it says, when you don't know what to say or how to say it, you pray in the Spirit. Okay, since I've used all my English, I start praying in the Spirit. Not loud. Just to be grateful to the Lord and thankful to the Lord. I was so honored to get to do that. And pastor's wife walked in and she says, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, working and praying. And this is what she said to me. Why? And I said, for which one? And she said, well, I'm just wondering what you're praying about. And I'm like, I'm communicating to God. I'm not really, like prayer is the name that it is, but I'm just so thankful to be here. And she goes, oh, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, well, I feel that way. Y'all, there's a place for you. But let me tell you, when you find your place, don't forget who gave it to you. God blessed you to have legs and the ability to walk in here this morning. Amen. You could be bedridden, watching it online, or bedridden and not have the ability to watch it online. But you have two healthy legs. You woke up and breathed this morning. You have something to be thankful for. And when you're anxious, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, tell the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, this is a good word, huh? Amen. Amen. So, interestingly enough, it's funny, when she went to that, I said, oh, that was the remember I told you there was one verse that I read that kind of just sparkled a little bit, but it didn't like sink into my heart? That was the section. So that was for you, but the Lord is telling me, hey, this is important. So he is so good, and he's able to do above and beyond all we can ask or think when we do pray. And so we need to make sure that our hearts stay really soft. That's what it takes. It takes us being able to say, Lord, I don't want to become hard. And if I am hard, I need you to soften my heart. If things have come into my life that have caused pain and has caused hurt, and I've let that affect me in a way that has tightened my heart so that it can't receive your grace, then Lord, work on me. Work on me. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to heal my heart. I give you, Holy Spirit, permission to pour oil on my heart and soften it once again so that it's pliable in your hands. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I believe that this word is going to be a transformative word in our lives. And Lord, I just release now everything that you want to accomplish. It says you sent your word and you healed. Lord, it says that your word does not return void. Lord, it says that your word is a lamp to our feet. So Lord, however you want to apply this word in our life, we give you permission. And we just ask that your perfect will would be accomplished in our lives through what we've heard today. And we just say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. 'Cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never left. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause I'm standing strong on you. I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause my house is built on you. Christ is my firm foundation. Yeah.